Jesus created the church because we desperately need it for life and faith. Jesus created the church because we desperately need it for life and faith. Once in a while, I get a blog from a guy in Australia, Andrew Hamilton. He wrote a really good book on co-vocational ministry. And he writes about his life. And over the last year, he's lost a brother, and he lost his 19-year-old son. Very, very tough time. And he's quite open in his blog about all that he's been going through. And it's fascinating to follow him. A couple of times I comment back. Other times I just let what he wrote just kind of sit with me a little bit. This is what he wrote a couple weeks ago. As we have gone through this year, as I mentioned, his stuff in his life, I have been reminded more than ever that we all carry pain. Some of us have the cold, brutal, permanent pain of a death. Others, the ongoing, ever-present pain of a marriage gone south or a terminal illness. Some live with tormented minds, damaged souls, even if they present okay. I'd put money on it that everyone is dealing with pain of some sort. I'd put money on it, he writes, on it that everyone is dealing with pain of some sort. Jesus created the church because we need, desperately need it for life and faith. So here's a couple of questions for you to think about, for us to think about. What if our church ceased to exist? Now, it's not a threat. It's not a threat. I'm just asking the open question because I'm going to go into 1 Thessalonians and I'm trying to connect what Paul is talking about and how we live in Rosenort. What if our church cease to exist? What if we didn't have this church? Would it matter? Would it matter if we didn't have this church? What would we do? Do we actually need the church? Do we actually need this church? See, Western Christians have many opinions and practices on the church and the point of it and how we actually do church. There's all kinds of things. But the question is, what if our church ceased to exist? Or if it changed? In Kyrgyzstan, which used to be part of the Soviet Union, it's just on the north side of China. A small country, a draft bill on December 12th, last December, a draft bill, political bill, was introduced in the parliament of Kyrgyzstan, which proposed significant and tighter restrictions on the country's existing religion law. Referred to as a very dangerous law, the draft legislation sought to enact stricter registration requirements and mandated that religious communities possess a minimum of 500 adult members in order to gain legal status. Did you hear that? Mandated that religious communities possess a minimum of 500 adult members in order to gain legal status. The proposed law further mandates that all places of worship are to be registered, and that an individual's freedom to publicly share their faith will be prohibited. Additionally, the new proposal requires religious communities to re-register every 10 years. What if? Just what if? What if the four churches, Rosenart EMC, Rosenart Fellowship Church, Rosenart Community Church, and Pleasant Valley Church, and Simple Gatherings, five of us, were all required to meet together from here on in? Nothing's afoot. There's no proposal. I'm just asking because this is what's happening in the world. And I'm trying to get us in touch with, does the church really matter to me, to us? What if all of us as churches had to meet together and it was absolutely prohibited that you weren't even allowed to have coffee and pray together like we can now? If you're not allowed to do any of that, what? What do you think? What would that mean? Let's get into 1 Thessalonians. Paul is writing a great letter, an encouraging letter, as I've gone through over the last number of weeks. We always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly as we pray to our God and Father about you. We think of your faithful work, your loving deeds, the enduring hope you have because of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you and has chosen you to be his own people. For when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power. The Holy Spirit gave you full assurance of what we said was true. Oh, it is really encouraging. Therefore, we never stop thanking God when we received it, when you received this message from us. You didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You actually accepted them, as we said, the very word of God, which of course it is. And the word continues to work in you who believe. Finally, when we could stand it no longer, we decided to stay alone in Athens, and we sent Timothy to visit you, and he is our brother and God's co-worker proclaiming God's good news of Christ. And we sent him to strengthen you, to encourage you in your faith, to keep you from being shaken by the troubles you were going through. And now we thank God for you. Because of you, we have greater joy as we enter God's presence. Night and day, we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again to fill the gaps in your faith. Chapter 3, verse 11. May God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ bring us to you soon. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. May he, as a result, make your heart strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus Christ comes again with all his holy people. Amen. He ends that passage with. What? He's just so encouraging. What we need to understand here in Thessalonica. Can you say that? Thessalonica. 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 Boy, that is a hard word to say, isn't it? In that city, the church is all they have. In that environment, that's all they have. They desperately needed each other. It's like a campfire. You've got all kinds of sticks and logs and all kinds of wood there, but if you pull out one and put it on its side over here, it'll go out quickly. They desperately needed each other. It was a hostile environment, as we've talked about going through the book of Thessalonians. It was hostile, but they needed each other. But here's the kicker for us. We actually don't think, in my experience, we actually don't desperately need our church. We have too much. We got all kinds of sermons on YouTube. Too much good teaching, some very bad teaching, but good teaching out there. You listen to anybody on any topic. You don't have to come this morning to listen to me or anyone that would speak. We got great music on all the streams of the internet. You don't have to come and listen to our music. You don't actually need this, if you think about it. But should we? Go to back to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. May God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ bring us to see you very soon. That's what he's looking for. And may the Lord make your love for one another and all people grow and overflow. You can't make love grow all by yourself. Doesn't work that way. That love would grow and overflow. That's what we have as a church that you can't get anywhere else, is the relationships. I love it how we start not on time. Why? My mom would be so mad at me because she was an on-time person. She said, if you aren't early, you're late. I love it. Because why? All the conversation that's going on, beside the great snack, which is really good, but all the conversations that's going on, the connections, shaking of hands, few hugs here and there, or side hugs, or whatever they are. And afterwards, most of the time, unless you have someplace you have to be, we're not rushing out. You don't get that in the mall. You don't get that on YouTube. You don't get that listening to iTunes or Spotify. There's something about being together here that you can't get anywhere else. I love it. I love it. He goes on here, he's talking about love for one another and for all people. Love for one another and all people grow and overflow. To grow. It can only grow as we're together. Now, together for one another, he's talking about the church. So he's challenging the church. He's challenging us that we would continue to grow with one another. Grow in appreciation. Grow in respect. Grow in care for each other. That's what we do. How do we do that? There's three simple words. I can't remember, Dwight, if I got the right order here. I might be out of order. There's three different words here. One is attention. Attention. That we pay attention to each other. We look at each other in the faces, in the eyes. We notice people. And sometimes, I admit, and you can always stop me, sometimes I'm on a mission on something and I go, oh, good morning, and I'll move away and I won't even look at your face. Who did I just say hi to? I apologize. Just call me on it. Attention. Connection. To connect. To actually, how are you? So I can walk by and just tap Abe and Mary on the shoulder. That's attention, that's a little bit of connection. But when we actually sit and talk or stand and talk, how are you? What's going on in your life? That's huge. And then the third one would be hospitality. That's when we get together as a church. We haven't done that for a while. We haven't bring that up. We haven't done a potluck for quite a while. We have to do that on the agenda on Tuesday for leadership team. Getting together in each other's homes, or out for breakfast, or out for lunch, or wherever we're connecting intentionally. Very simple that way. To grow. Let's look at those two definitions of grow and of overflow. Sorry, Dwight, I'm really making you jump around here. But so there's, we need to understand those words. To grow means to increase, excel, abound, and abundance. He's talking about as you grow in love for one another, that it will increase. It will just, like from a year ago to now, do we actually love each other? Do we care about each other more than a year ago? 1 year from now, will we be increased in our love for one another? I don't know how to measure that. It won't be in the quality of the snack necessarily, but it'll be the times that we're together, the deeper conversations, and then maybe there'll be times when it's getting harder and harder to pull you together because you're having such good conversations before our gathering. To increase, to abundance. And we look at overflow, which then takes what it is, and it flows more than enough, excessive amount, left over. As it overflows from the bucket of love, that it just goes. And what he's talking about is that it will actually move into the community. It'll move into our relationships. That's what he's saying here. He talks not just about one another. He talks about your love for one another and for all people. Those inside the church, those right here, and those outside. That's why I love being what's called a co-vocational pastor. I'm your pastor, so to speak, half-time. But I drive a school bus, and I'm a professional Zamboni driver. If you didn't know that, I work a couple of shifts at the arena and drive the Zamboni. And I do a little bit of work on the side for Colin and in his spec house. Why do I do that? Sure, the money's okay. But the connections, the bus kids that I get on my bus, some of the parents that I connect with, the hockey parents and coaches and the refs and all that I connect with at the arena, it's all about relationship. Our neighbors, all those little things that I do is about connecting with people. That's why I do it. That's what I love about doing it. Good morning to every kid as they get on the bus. Good day. Have a wonderful day. And many of them say, have a good day to me as they're leaving me and going into school. Some of them have even given me some of their snack when they come from school. Baked in class. It was really good. That's what I do. It's for relationship. To show care and love for others. I don't know where that's going to go. I don't have a soapbox at the arena, and I'm not preaching or anything like that, but I'm building relationships, which is what Paul is saying. What he's saying that we can all do. Your workplace, it's not just a place of work. It's a place to meet people. Your schools. Doesn't matter, you're at a Christian college. I assume everyone's there as a Christian, but everyone needs love and encouragement. Going out for a walk or run, you meet people. Wherever you go, that's what he's talking about, you love others outside. It takes a bit of a shift sometime to just think through beyond us and to look outside. In neighborhoods, in your workplaces, in any gathering, anywhere you go. We were in Steinbach on Friday night visiting our son, and I stopped in at the new Pizza Hut, and then I bumped into two people I hadn't seen in years, and stood and talked to them. The order was taking a little bit long to get made. So I had a good conversation to encourage them, just tap them on the shoulder. Anywhere we go. Now, I want to talk to introverts. I had a really good lunch with an individual the other day, and we're talking about that, and he was explaining a little bit, well, I'm really an introvert, and that got me thinking. I'm going, oh yeah. So there's a really good book, if you feel you're an introvert and you want to read it, it's called Quiet, written by Susan King, very good book. I think I've probably talked about it a year before. The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking. That's pretty good. The power of introverts in a world that can't stop talking. She says it's at least a third of us, if not more, that are actually introverts. So if you're an introvert here and you feel you are, you're in good company. You're in good company. I married one. I love her. See, it's a good balance to me, who I think is a little more extrovertish. I don't know. You are more powerful and important as an introvert than you realize. You see, with introverts, and there's a point to it, with introverts, we sometimes look at ourselves a little less than. I'm not that good. I'm really not out there. I'm not like Pastor Tim. I'm not like whoever that you look at. No, there are some real strengths. You are more powerful and important than you realize. For instance, right in the introduction, she's talking about, without introverts, the world would be devoid of, which means it wouldn't have, the theory of creativity, the theory of gravity, the theory of relativity. Why am I having trouble with words? You wouldn't have the theory of gravity, the theory of relativity. You would not have Peter Pan. You would not have George Orwell's 1984 book. Most of us would have read it in high school. You wouldn't have Cat in the Hat. You wouldn't have Charlie Brown. You wouldn't have Schindler's List, E.T., or Close Encounters of the Third Kind. You wouldn't have Google, and you wouldn't have Harry Potter. Because all of them were created by introverts. All of them were created by introverts or discovered. Introversion brings balance to a loud world, but still has significance. Jesus and the Apostle Paul, their commands and their encouragements to love one another and all people includes introverts. We can sometimes use that as a reason to check out, but we need to understand something about introverts. What happened is, isn't it Finding Nemo, where the clownfish, do we go out? Do we go in? Remember, he's in the orange fish. He's in his, what's that called? The anemones or whatever that he's in. And he's teaching his son, we go out into the world, or we go back. How many of you, am I clicking here? You getting that? Okay. And that's what happens with introverts, is we're in this. But we must go out into the world and meet with people, encourage people, love people, care for people, but then we come back in because I feel better in here. And that's fair. But we go out into the world. We don't stay in here. And so if you're an introvert here, I'm encouraging you to don't just stay inside yourself or inside the world that you're in. But we need to, because the command to love one another is for everyone. The extroverts and the introverts and everybody in between. Is we are inside ourselves, in our place, but we need to go out. That's what Jesus and the Apostle Paul taught about. We need to go out. We need to extend love. We need to encourage each other. Let's reflect. Reflection. Think about this week. What would happen to us? Us, not me. What would happen to us if our church ceased to exist? Second reflection. What do I need that only this church can provide. What do I mean? What do I mean that only this church can provide? And then thirdly, what can I give? What can I give to this church? What can I share with this church? What can I give that only I can give? What can I give that only I can give that we need each other? Why does this matter? We need each other. I need you. You need me. Jesus created the church because we desperately need it for life and faith. Jesus created the church because we desperately need it for life and faith. I know you don't always want to do this, but I want to encourage you to go back to March 2020. We realized, hopefully, what we missed, what we lost for a time. I love it. I hear the stories of how you guys actually made it through that time together. Fascinating. Great stories. What did I miss? What did I need? The Apostle Paul reiterated what Jesus said from the start. Love one another. And that becomes a witness to the world. Not everyone in and around Rosemont, the RM of McDonald, RM of Morris. I need some hockey players and teams from McDonald, but RM of Morris and Rosemont. Not everyone actually knows Jesus. Did you know that? Not everyone around us knows Jesus. Jesus created the church because we need it desperately for life and for faith.